Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the second line from the top of Daf Chof at the end of the line. We continue, as we indicated in our previous shiur, analyzing and explaining the source that was found, the Tanaic source that was found at the end of Daf Yud Tes Omed Aleph. So, in effect, we're in a continuation mode from our previous sugya, but opening up with a different section of that source from Daf Yud Tes. So the Gemara opens with a quote, V'habosor tomei. We were speaking about a case where someone slaughtered an animal in the Beis HaMikdash and found a needle in the meat, and we declared the meat to be tomei, while at the same time the sakin and the person that may have touched the needle remain tohor. Of course, there is a suffix in our minds concerning the status of the needle, or we saw actually an opinion of Rav that it was a needle that we knew to have been Tomei Mace. The Bosar is Tomei, and now the Gemara focuses on the Bosar, high Bosar Diskashibai. In order for food, in this case the meat, to become Tomei, it has to experience Hechsher. Hechsher is where it's exposed to a liquid, it's washed off with water, for example, and then it would be subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. Otherwise, if you, for example, were to pick off a fruit from a tree and you didn't rinse it off, and a dead sheretz would touch the fruit would not become tomei because the food item requires hechsher, which is a stage that prepares a food or makes the food, we'll say, susceptible for absorption of tumah. So our question is, the meat in our story, what was machshir it lekabel tumah in order for it to get to become tomei through the needle? And you'll notice triangles, and on the side of our Gemara under our Noseh, Mivneh heading, the Noseh is the topic, and Mivneh is structural note. We've explained that the triangles represent Shlavim, they're stages, Kedei Levarer, in order to clarify, B'mai Iskasher Abosur Shemitmo B'Braisa Sof Yutes Omanav. How did the meat in that Tanaic source become Mukhshor Lekabel Tumah, ready, prepared, eligible for becoming Tomei in the first place? Now, the way we've marked this section, being that this is a question, Hai Bosar Diskashir B'mai, we have a long question, even though it entails several stages, and each recommendation as we go along, each one of these first three triangles will be rejected, and eventually get to the fourth triangle, that will be the answer. We mentioned in our previous year that the bow tie marking, it had already been explained, is used to highlight the different elements that were in, that were featured in the source at on Yud Tes Omed Aleph, and the bow tie highlights where each new element is going to be analyzed. So here we're analyzing the Bosar. The question having been, what was Machshir the Bosar to absorb Tuma? E Nemo, a suggestion that will be rejected. E Nemo Diskashir Bedam, that it became Muchshir through the blood. After all, we're talking about the animal was slaughtered, and maybe the blood of the animal was Machshir the meat to become Tomei. That can't be, though. V'ho Amar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Lidam Kochim She'eno Machshir. Being that we're talking about a sacrificial animal, an animal that was sacrificed in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, that was an animal that was slaughtered there, and the blood in question is blood from sacrifices, Dam Kochim. Rabbi Chiya says, from where do we know that the Dam of Kochim is not Machshir? Shenemar, The pasuk says loy soichlenu. This pasuk is referring to blood. It says don't eat blood. Al oritz tishpachenu kamayim. Shed it or spill it on the ground. And now from this we learn a comparison between blood and water. Water is known to be something that is machshir lekabel tuma. So what kind of blood is machshir as well? Dam shenishbach kamayim machshir. Dam that can be allowed to go to waste, to spill out on the floor like water. That kind of blood is machshir. However, we're talking about korbonos right now. When you slaughter a korban, you don't let the blood spill out on the floor. You gather the blood from the neck of the animal in a receptacle vessel. Therefore, it's under the second category, beis, v'she'eno nishpach kemayim, eino machshir. Blood that is not spilled out like water, which happens to be the case of korbonos blood. It's not spilled out like water. So it's not machshir. So to assume that the meat became muchshir lekabel tuma through the blood of that animal, the sacrificed animal, the slaughtered sacrifice, that would not be the source of hechsher. V'yelo diskasha b'mashki beis mitbochaya. Maybe it became muchshir lekabel tuma through the liquids found at the slaughtering site. The Gemara says, no, that can't be either. V'ho omer Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, mashki beis mitbochaya, lo dayon. It's not enough shehen dochin that they themselves remain tohor, elo she'ein machshir. And we've dashed underlined this a second time because this is the focus of our sukkah. These liquids, the mashki beis mitbochaya, are not machshir. So what was machshir the bosar to mekabel tuma? The elo diskasher bechibas hakodesh. Chiba is a word referring to something that's beloved or dear or of great significance. Here we're talking about something that was sanctified, from an animal that was sanctified to be a sacrifice. That's kodesh. Something that's dedicated and sanctified, so it has a special status. Everyone can understand something that's sanctified has a special status, a status of importance, of chashivus, of chibot, something very dear. So it could be, this is the suggestion, that since it has that status, that status itself elevates the item in question, in this case, the meat, to something as if it was mukhshar lekabel tuma. The Gemara is going to reject chibas hakodesh as being the source of hechsher as well. Amor de mahanya lei chibas hakodesh lefsule gufe. I can tell you that chibas hakodesh can elevate something to become itself posel. In other words, if something tomei would touch the meat, or touch could be a meal offering, even if it was a dry meal offering, that would make it such that tuma can affect it and ruin it. However, in our sukkah, we're talking about the meat, and the meat was described in the Braisa not as something that's posel, that simply becomes ruined, but tome, habosur tome, we saw in the second, third line from the top, habosur tome means that the meat is vested with the power to transmit tuma another stage, further down the line. So, chibas hakodesh cannot be the explanation of habosur tome in the source from Daf Yud Tes, because all we know about what we know about chibas hakodesh is that it creates psul. Psul is a situation where the item itself is rendered unfit, but chibas hakodesh would not vest it with the potential of becoming tomei, which is more than just psul. It's the ability to transmit tuma further. The Gemara answers that this is we've used a long marking, a rejection, a dalet, the dechios. All of these lines are dedicated to this point, to rejecting chibas hakodesh. So the Gemara explains, Amor, I'm reading again that line, Amor de hamahanya le chibas hakodesh of sule gufe. Granted that chibas hakodesh can elevate something, that which has been sanctified, to being susceptible to its own ruination. However, lemimna be rishon v'sheni nami, but to limina, to count. Rishon Latuma, Shemi Latuma, these are the succeeding stages, the downward stages of Tuma transferal. Now, in the source of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, when we spoke about the Bosser, it has this element of Lemimne Bey Rishon Vesheni. In other words, if the meat had come into contact with an Ava Tuma, so the meat would become a Rishon, and by virtue of the fact that the meat is called Tame, I know that it can make some other item a Sheni. That is not characteristic of Chibas HaKadosh. Because if it were, then Reish Lakish, who we'll see in the next line, would never have needed to ask his question. And yet Reish Lakish asks a question concerning this topic of Chibas HaKadosh, as the Gemara goes on to say, if it were so that Chibas HaKadosh can machshir something to become Tomei, not just Posel, but Tomei, then Tifshot the boy Reish Lakish. Then there should have been a resolution to Reish Lakish's question. Tzorid shel Menachas, this is a reference. Tzorid means something dry. Menachas is a dry meal offering. In other words, no oil came into contact with a certain section of the meal offering. Generally speaking, oil is added to most meal offerings. Let's say there wasn't an even distribution of the oil and some of it remained dry, and then some tuma came into contact with the dry part of the minchon. And when something's dry, so it hasn't yet been mukshar lekabel tuma. However, the meal offering has been sanctified. So it has this element of Chibas HaKadosh. And Reish Lakish asked, the dry mincha, this is a mincha that was not mukshar, but on the other hand, it was hukdash, it was sanctified, so it has Chibas HaKadosh. He asked, Monin bo rishon v'sheni olo, does the tuma that affects the tzorid shel menachas, making it unfit, does it also cause that dry part of the mincha to transmit tuma down the line to other things? And now Reish Lakish asked that question, that would show us that Reish Lakish understood that Chibas HaKadosh is not something that is capable of rendering something tomei, so as to allow a continued downward movement of the tuma. So Chibas HaKadosh, from the mere fact that Reish Lakish even asked the question about the Tzorid Shel Menachas, we know that Chibas HaKadosh could not be responsible for this downward movement of the tuma from a Rishon to a Sheni onwards. And yet our Braisa on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah there that was quoted, indicates that there is downward movement of tuma. So we haven't reached an answer as to what was machshir the meat, the makabel tuma. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kagon, Shoy Sapora Shazif Chishlamim. The source on Yud Tes Amud Aleph was speaking about a cow that was brought as a shlamim korban. Now, a word about the shlomim korban is that when the animal is slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled, so the owner gets the meat, and the owner also gets the skins. So the owner of the animal is interested in preserving the skins in as best a way as possible. So what he will do, it is described in the Gemara, to make the skinning easier. Pora shel zivchei shlomim vehevira benohar. He had it passed through a river, making the whole animal wet. Vishachta, and then slaughter it. This wetness of the animal when it's being slaughtered enables the skinning to take place in a more effective fashion. The adayin mashke toifechola, and after the slaughtering, the wetness that was on the animal just prior to its slaughtering was still present, and that wetness, that water, dripped onto the meat, making the meat mukshar lekabel tuma, as water ordinarily is a standard or primary source of hechsher lekabel tuma. We continue referring back to the source on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Nimseis beperish hakol tor, if the needle was found in the waist of the animal, then everything is tar. So you slaughtered an animal, you slaughtered a korban shlamim, and you found a needle in its waist inside the animal, but it's in the either the rectum or the intestinal canal in the intestines where you have all the waste of the animal's digestion, and we say here that everything remains tar. The Gemara asks, "V'neder perish v'netame lebosar." Why not say that the perish? And the assumption right now is that the perish has the din of a mashke. After all, and Rashi had mentioned this earlier, that before you slaughtered the animal, you also, in addition to wetting it from the outside, apparently you gave it water to drink. All of that makes the skinning more effective or easier to perform. So, could we not say that the perish has a din of mashke, and that mashke would machshir the basar lakat, the perish would then metama the basar, in other words, the needle would metama the perish, and the perish, being that it has a din of mashke, would then metama the basar. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, the perish ova. We're talking about a very thick type of waste matter that doesn't have the din of mashke. So it's pure waste, and as such, it's not capable of being mashir. It's not considered a mashke, and hence, if it were a mashke, so it would be makabel tuma from the needle, but it's not a mashke. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar filu temo beperish rako. He says even if you describe the perish as being loose, it's rako is soft or loose. Mishum dehave mashke soruach. The reason it's not makabel tuma and hence doesn't transfer tuma to the meat is because it's soruach means it's a disgusting, it's a sour, disgusting type of liquid, and hence it removes it from the realm of standard mashkim that are capable of being makabel tuma. Toni Tano Kamed Rav Sheshes. A Tanaic source was stated in front of Rav Sheshes, and it reads as follows: Sheretz metame es hamashkin, a dead sheretz, one of the eight creatures mentioned in the Torah that when they die, they are capable of transmitting, radiating tuma. An example of a sheretz might be a dead mouse. There are seven other creatures mentioned in the Torah, and one of those, if it's dead, it's metamen mashkin. Umashkin metamen es akli. The mashkin would then transmit tuma to a kli. If you want to keep track of things, so the sheretz is an avatuma, the mashkin that it touched would be a rishon, and now the mashkin, which is a rishon, is metame the kli, making the kli a sheni. O kli metame sa'oichlin, and the kli would metame food, making it a shlishi. V'oichlin metame as a mashkin, and that food, if it came into contact with additional mashkin, it would make that into ravi. V'lomadnu sholosh tumos b'sheretz, and from here we see three levels of tuma originating from the sheretz. The Gemara asks, why do you say three? Hani arbo hen. We just made reference to four levels of tuma. So the Gemara says, goes mashkin deresha. Goes literally is to cut out, means eliminate or erase the mashkin referred to in the resha, so that you would rather read the source as follows. You would read it, the sheretz is metama es hakli, the dead sheretz is metama a vessel, and that vessel becomes a rishon, ukli metama es oichlin, making the oichlin a sheni, v'oichlin metama sa mashkin, making it a shlishi, and that's the end of the story. And that accounts for the expression sholosh tumos b'sheretz. The Gemara asks, adarabo, goes mashkin to seifel. If like you're into cutting out one of the levels in order to justify the three tumos b'sheretz, why did you cut out the first reference to mashkin? Why not cut out the last reference to mashkin? The Gemara answers, lo ashkechon tana diomer mashkin metamen kli elo Rabbi Yehuda v'hodar bei. at the first stage, we saw the sheretz was metama the mashkin, and those mashkin were then metama a kli. That idea that liquids that are tame can ruin, can metama, can defile a vessel, that's an idea that was expressed only by the Tano Rebbe Yehuda. And he himself, Rebbe Yehuda, himself retracted from that position. That's Mahodar Bey. He retracted from that. So there's no sense in leaving the source teaching something that isn't an accepted opinion by anybody in the final analysis. So that it would make more sense simply to teach the sheretz was metama the kli, and then the kli was metama the food, and the food was metama the mashkin. The simonoich, in order to remember that order, remember nazaisa. Nazaisa is a barrel in which beer is made. In the manufacture of beer, what would be done is you would take the kli, the barrel, that parallels the kli mentioned in the source, and then after that you put barley into it, that's the oichel, and after that you add water to it in order to start the fermentation process. That is the final item that you add in the beer making process is the liquid. So you have vessel, food, the barley, and then the liquid. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei heading, and where we've written Havono, the Eich Poel Tumas Avir Klicheres. Here the Gemara will be explaining how airspace of a clay vessel is the environment of Tuma transmission. So before we learn the Gemara, let us basically say what it is, and then we'll see how the Gemara deals with it. So one has to envision a kli cheres, a clay vessel. Oftentimes the example of a kli cheres is a tanur. A tanur is a clay oven. And in the event that you have, let us say, some bread in this clay oven, or any other food item for that matter, and a dead sheretz was suspended in the airspace, even without touching the interior of the clay vessel, it was dangling in the airspace of the tanur, we say that the sheretz is metama the tanur through the air, and the tanur then becomes a rishon l'tuma, and then other items that are in the airspace of the tanur will become a sheni, so that the tanur is then metama food that's in the airspace, the food becoming a sheni. Now, one thing that the Gemara will emphasize is we do not say that the sheretz, when it's in the airspace of the tanur, that it fills the airspace with sheretz level tuma. Sheretz level tuma meaning an av hatuma. In other words, we don't say that. We say rather the sheretz tuma is, if you want to use imagery, it's a focused beam of tuma that hits only the tanur. Once the tanur becomes tamei, then we say that the airspace of the tanur is filled with rishon tuma, that the tanur is radiating. And that's what we mean very often. You see the term avir klicheres is metame. Let's now see the Gemara. Tanan hosam. The Mishnah says, sheretz shimso betanur, a dead sheretz is found in an oven, clay oven, hapas shebesocho shnia. The bread that's also in the oven is a sheni level of tuma, mnesha tanur tchila, because the tanur, it is a rishon. Tchila means a rishon l'tuma. But what's very clear in this source is that the sheretz was not metama the bread. The sheretz was metama the tanur, and the tanur was metama the bread. Omale Rav Ado bar Ava l'rova. Rav Ado asks, v'nechsi lahai tanur. Why not? Nechsi means to view. Why not view the tanur kamanda moli tuma domi? The teve hai pas rishona, moli means filled. Why not view the airspace of the tanur as if it is filled with sheretz level tuma, and the pas would then become, the pas is the bread, would then become a rishon l'tuma, the sheretz being an av hatuma, the primary level tuma, and then it radiates its tuma to the bread. Why not say that? Omale lo salkadaito. So Rava answers, no, you cannot say that. You can't, that cannot occur to you. Desanyo, we have another source. Yochol yukol hakelim mitamin me'avir klicheres. If you have, let's say, other vessels, you have metal vessels or wooden vessels that ordinarily, when they become tameh, you can submerge them in a mikveh and thereby purify them. Would you say that a vessel that's in the airspace of a clay vessel that has a sheretz in the airspace, would you say that those vessels become tameh? Talmud Lomar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. The Pasuk says, Kol Asher Besocho Yitmo. The Pasuk says, everything in the airspace of the Tanur that has the sheretz dangling in it becomes Tomeh, Vesomich Le Mikol HaOichel. And following that, it says, the all food. Oichel Metameh Me'avir Klicheres, V'ein Kol HaKelim Metameh Me'avir Klicheres. The Pasuk tells us that food becomes tameh by virtue of being in the airspace of the klicheres, but vessels do not. And the only way to explain that is that the sheretz is not filling the airspace with sheretz tumah, because if that were the case, sheretz tumah is an av hatumah. Av hatumah is capable of being metameh vessels. Vessels that are subject to tahara in a mikveh are makabel tumah from both the inside of the vessel and the outside of the vessel. So if the entire vessel is in the airspace of the tanur, while the sheretz is there, well, then if it were so that the sheretz fills the airspace with sheretz level tumah, so then you wouldn't limit the tumah to just food, but to the vessels inside the tanur as well. And yet, the source tells us that only food becomes tameh through the avir klicheres, and the reason for that is, once again, because the sheretz was metameh only the oven, the klicheres in which it was found. It directed its tumah in a beam fashion, again, just for illustration purposes, to the klicheres, and once the klicheres becomes tameh, so it, being a rishon, it radiates its tumah throughout the airspace of the tanur. And Rishon level tumah does not affect vessels, only food. We continue now with a highly structured sugya. If you just let your eye roam across the daf, you'll notice, repeat, triangles and diamonds. If we glance at the side, there's a Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangles, together with the double underline, represent three Amoroyim. You see, the first triangle you've got Rav Chisda, the next triangle you've got Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, and again, after that, you've got Rav Elazar. Three Amoroyim, Malim Stirois, Bedivrei Rav Yeshua. In each case, in the three diamond cases, each one of the Amoroyim will be presenting what appears to be a contradiction within the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, Shemuvlat with a diamond, the Inyone Bior Truma. And the common theme that runs through all of this Omid is the destruction of Truma. And we'll see each case as it comes along. A lot of what we will be seeing here is, in effect, review material. It represents sugyas that we've learned earlier in this perek, especially we're focusing on that which we've learned since Daf Yud Dalet. So let us see the stiros, each one as it comes along. Rav Chisda Rami Pischa Apischa Umishani. Rav Chisda raises a contradiction within Shitas Rabbi Yishmael regarding the 14th of Nisan with respect to the destruction of Chometz, more specifically Truma that happens to be Chometz. So we see now, Mi Omar Rabbi Yeshua Shtehen Ka'achas. Would Rabbi Yeshua have really said, and you should note that we have a long question, and then the answer follows, where the Gemara just made reference to Rami Pischa Pischa Umishani means, and Rav Chisda will answer the steer as well. So the question is, does Rabbi Yeshua say Shtehen Ka'achas? Now that Shtehen is a pronoun, the two of them together. But here we have to be careful. The two of them is a reference to Tluya with Tmeya. Tluya is Truma, that there's a Suffek Tuma, there's a doubt concerning its defilement. And Tmeya means some Truma that has definitely become Tomei. Now, would Rabbi Yeshua have allowed Tluya and Tamea to be burnt together, as we had heard back on Daf Yud Dalid Omid Aleph? V'raminhu, we have another source that will contradict this. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Ein Hanidoin Doime L'Raya. If you're trying to prove from that which was said earlier in the Mishnah, we saw Rabbi Chaninos Gana Koyanim, and we saw Rabbi Akiva. All this is review information from Daf Yudalid. So Rabbi Yossi says, he says to Rabbi Meir, well, you know, Rabbi Meir wanted to be very lenient. Rabbi Yossi says to him, you can't compare any of the previous examples to allow your level of leniency. So he says, Ein hanidoin dome l'raya. The case under question is not similar to the sources that you are citing to serve as proof. Kishehe'idu rabosenu, when the rabbis, including Rabbi Yoshua, we have to emphasize that, the rabbis, including Rabbi Yoshua, when they were made, when they testified, al mahidu, what did they, concerning what did they testify? Al habosar shenitmo bevlad hatuma shesorfen oso im habosar shenitmo be'avatuma. They allowed the burning of sacrificial meat in the case that the meat needed to be burnt, time passed, or whatever. So they would allow the burning of meat, of sacrificial meat that became tome, through vlad hatuma, means a subsidiary level tuma, together with meat that was nitma, that became tuma through a primary level of tuma. And in such a case, what happens is you're elevating, in you're making something that's tuma a little more tuma, and that ordinarily is a problem. But when you're describing or discussing a situation where the meat has to be burnt anyway, so they will have allowed that burning of meat that was a lower level of tumah together with meat that was a higher level of tumah. Now, why did they allow that? Because zet tumah v'zet tumah, because both of them are anyway tumah. It's not a serious ruination of anything. Im, and another thing, another precedent was im al hashemen shenifsal betvul yom shemadlikenos of bener shenitmo betumah meis. And if you'll try to cite as a precedent the allowance that that we provide for the burning of oil, that if you have truma oil, truma is a tithe given to the Kohen, and it's something that ordinarily must be maintained in a state of tara. Now, if the shemen became tomei, so if the shemen became posel, that is, it became unfit because a tevul yom touched the shemen. Tevul yom is someone who had been tameh, but he was at the end of his tumah period. He went to the mikveh, but it's before sundown, so he has a special level of tumah. He's called a tevul yom. He's also categorized as a sheni level of tumah. We allow so that that shemen that was contacted by a tevul yom becomes posel. We allow it to be burnt in a ner. A ner is an oil receptacle. It has a wick as well. So we allow it to be burnt in this ner that became tomei shenitmo betomei mace. It became tomei through tumas mace. Well, why do we allow that? Because ze posel vezet tomei, both are not good, even though that which is posel is a much lower level of problems than something that's actually tomei. We nevertheless allow them to be burnt, the oil, in such a nair. So Rabbi Yossi goes on to say, Af onu modim betruma shenitmeis bevlad hatuma shesorfen oiso im hatruma shenitmeis be'av hatuma. We will allow the burning of these two different levels of truma that became tuma, even though one is a higher level of tuma than the other, will allow them to be put together for their burning. Avol hech nisrof afilu tluya im hatmeya shemo yovo eliyovi taharem. But who would allow the burning of something that's sufek tuma, tluya sufek tuma, truma that's sufek tuma, together with truma that's definitely tuma? Is there not the chance that Eliyo Hanovi, the prophet Eliyo, will come and declare the suffix to be tohor, and in effect you would then be metame the tohor by burning it together with the tomei? So we can't allow that. Well, what do we see from this discussion? We see, and we did make reference to to Rabbi Yoshua, even though his name didn't appear in the source, but he was referred to. He was not allowing the burning of the Tluya with the Tameah, and yet the Mishnah Daf Yud Dalid indicated that he would have allowed Tluya with Tameah. Umishani, and we answer. Remember, Rav Chisto raised the question, and he answers. Ha Rabbi Shimon v'libra de Rabbi Yeshua, ha Rabbi Yossi v'libra Rabbi Yeshua. There's simply two opinions of later Tanoim with regard to what Rabbi Yeshua would really hold. Our Mishnah represents Rabbi Shimon, his opinion of Rabbi Yeshua being more lenient, and the Brisa that we just read represents Rabbi Yossi's opinion of Rabbi Yeshua being more stringent. The Sanyo, and in this source we will see that you have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon appearing. Desanya Yudalit Shechalios B'Shabbes, the 14th of Nisan that falls out on a Shabbos. 14th of Nisan is Erev Pesach. It's the time that people, on the 14th of Nisan, generally speaking, people burn their chametz. But since it coincides with Shabbos, so Mevarin es hakol mifnei haShabbos. Everything has to be destroyed. All the chametz is destroyed from before Shabbos. V'sorfin, trumos, tameos, tulios, utahoros, the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is very lenient, but he's not the focus of our discussion. He allows the burning of all kinds of truma, chametz truma, tomei, tolui, and toros all together. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tohor b'fnei atzmo, utuluya b'fnei atzmo, utameo b'fnei atzmo. Here you see Rabbi Yossi. He is restrictive that each kind of truma must be kept separate. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Lo nechliku Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua al haTorah ve'al tameah she'ein sorfin. Rabbi Shimon acknowledges that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua ben Lezer is a more stringent shita in these matters, but they don't argue with regard to tohora with tameah that you're not allowed to burn them together. Al hatluya ve'al haTohora shesorfin. If you have tluya with tahora, according to Rabbi Shimon's presentation of these tanoim, you'd be allowed to burn tluya together with tahora. Rashi adds, since the tluya is not huchsuk, it doesn't have a status of being tamei. There's doubt, but there's no known status, so it doesn't appear that you're being metame the tahora in an proactive fashion. Al ma nechliku, where does a controversy arise? Al hatluya vi al hatmeya. In the case where you have tluya, that's truma, that's chometz, that's safek tamei, with truma, that's chometz, that's definitely tamei. Shreb Lezer omer tisorev zu ba'atzma v'zu ba'atzma, Rabbi Yeshua omer shtehen ka'achas. Now, what we've done with the markings is what's significant for the answer. You see here, we squiggle on Rabbi Yeshua and dashed, underlined, Shtehen Ka'achas. So Rabbi Yeshua, and this section is brought by Rabbi Shimon. So it's Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Yeshua allows the Tluya to be burnt together with the Tameah. The previous source was Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Yeshua that did not allow the Tluya with the Tameah. Hence, the answer that Rav Chisda provided in resolving what we thought would be a contradiction. The Gemara asks, "V'ha masnisin Rav Yosihi?" But our Mishnah, the Mishnah Daf Yudalid, was in fact Rav Yosi, and he is lenient. So how can you present Rav Yosi as being restrictive when Rabbi Yossi himself is lenient? The Gemara answers, Hachi ko'oma Rabbi Yossi l'Rabbi Meir. Thusly, Rabbi Yossi was arguing to Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Meir, don't forget, was the one that allowed even Tahora with Tameah. So, Rabbi Yossi was saying to Rabbi Meir as follows. In other words, we're explaining, why did we get the impression that the Mishnah, which was according to Rabbi Yossi, was allowing Tluya with Tameah? So the Gemara is explaining here that's not really Rabbi Yossi's own opinion. it's Rabbi Yossi arguing with Rabbi Meir and saying as follows: Afilu Rabbi Shimon valibu Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon who I argue with, but even Rabbi Shimon in his presentation of Rabbi Shua, the Mekel that's lenient, ki Mekel, how far does he go? Betluyo Tamea. He allows something that's suffix together with Tamea Avol, but Toro Tamea Lo, but no one other than you, Rabbi Meir, no one would allow Tahora with Tamea. We now continue with the next stira. Rabbi Yossi Brochino Rami Truma Apischa Umeshani. He raises what appears to be a contradiction between the rules of Truma in general with Truma on Pesach, and he then provides an answer. And again, you can see through our markings the length of the question, following which will be an answer. Mi Omar Rabbi Yeshua Shtein Ka'achas. Would Rabbi Yeshua have really said, like he says in the Mishnah, that it's mutter to put together that it's mutter letame tluya biyadayim? That means to take something that's sofek to a tome. Would he allow taking something that's sofek tome and have it come into contact with something that's definitely tome? We're thereby being metama in a proactive fashion, that which is a sofek, that which is a mere doubt. So does he really allow that? Viraminu, we have a Mishnah from Maseches Trumos, and again, this is review. We've seen this before. Chavis shel truma shenolad bo sofek tuma, a barrel of truma, of in this case truma wine, that there developed a doubt concerning its tara. So that's nolad bo sofek tuma. Rabbi Lezer Omer, im hoisa munachas b'mokam aturfa, if the barrel of sofek tome, truma wine, is in an exposed area, an exposed meaning an area that some dead sheretz could easily fall into it, an area that it could, that some form of tuma can easily affect it, yanichena b'mokam amutza, put it in a protected area. Mutza literally is a hidden place, but in a place, in other words, move it out from its state of susceptibility to a state of prevention. Vim hoisa megula yichasen, and if it's an open barrel, then cover it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, im hoisa munachs b'mokam amutzne, if this sofek tome barrel is in a protected area, yanichena b'mokam aturfa, you can undo that by putting it in an area that is subject to it becoming tome. Vim hoisa mechusi galen, and if it was a covered barrel, expose it so that some tuma could fall in. Now, what does Rabbi Yeshua allow here? He doesn't allow your actually being metama the sofek tome, tuma. Groma in biodayim lo. Groma means causing, setting up a situation he causes or creates a situation that tuma could affect it, but he's not proactively being metama the sofek tuma. He's just exposing it to the possibility of, and he's called a causative factor, but not anything more than that. And yet, in our Mishnah, it seems that Rabbi Yeshua is saying you can burn tluya with tamea. That would mean the tluya, the sofek tuma, you actually are proactively being metame. Umeshani, and we answer, ha Rabbi Shimon aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, ha Rabbi Yossi aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. The Mishnah that was Mekil represents the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and his interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua. The Mishnah in Trumos, which represents a certain level of restriction, of stringency, that's Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar Rami Truma Atruma Umeshani. Again, Stira, and you can see the length of the question. Mi Omar Rabbi Yeshua. Now so what does Rabbi Elazar say? We're going to raise a stira within the topic of how Rabbi Yeshua would deal with truma. Mi Omar Rabbi Yeshua groma in biyodayim lo. Does Rabbi Yeshua really say that only being causative is allowed, but actual biyodayim means proactive? Being metama defilement is not allowed. Viraminu, we have the following source. Again, this is something we've learned in the past as well. Chovis shel truma, a barrel of truma wine, shenishbara begasul yona, and it broke in the upper part of a wine press. The wine press is constructed in a fashion where there are grindstones between which the grapes are crushed, and from there the liquid flows down into a pit. So we have a barrel of truma wine that broke in the upper part of the press. In the pit there is chulin, a common wine that happens to be tomei. we should point out parenthetically that chulin tameim is something that is mutter for people to drink. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Moder, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, they agree. Sheim yochol lahatzil mimena revias betara yatzil. If you have the chance of saving even a small amount, a revias is a liquid quantity, a small amount of the truma in using tohor vessels, and that's all you'll be able to save. The rest of the truma wine will go down and mix with the chulin, making it all forbidden. But you have the option, or you have the opportunity to save a revias betara yatzil. Then even Rabbi Yeshua is generally speaking an opinion of leniency. Will say you must save the revias betara and let the rest go to ruination. In other words, the truma wine will fall and mix in with the chulin. Truma being something that's allowed only for kayanim, when it mixes with the chulin, so it renders it unfit for non kohanim to drink. The im lav, and if not, meaning you have no tohor vessels. You have tome vessels that you can use to catch the truma wine before it mixes with the chulin, ruining the chulin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, terid v'tetame v'ad tameno biyad, let the truma wine flow down, mix with the chulin, but you don't proactively metame the truma wine by catching it in a tome vessel. Rabbi Yeshua, we've dashed on the line because he is the focus of our attention. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, yitameno biyad. If you don't have any tohor vessels, so catch the truma wine and thereby save the chulin from ruination. And what do you see here? You see he allows proactive defilement of the truma wine, and before he was allowing only gruma, only causative behavior. Umeshani, and the Gemara answers, Shiny Hosam, the case of the barrel breaking in the Gasuel Yonah, in the upper part of the press, Diko Hefsid Chulin, because there is an issue of a financial loss, so we are lenient to prevent the ruination of the chulin. Maskiflo Rava. Rava asks a question on this. Masni Sinami, Iko Hefsid Eitzim. In our Mishnah, there was an issue of the ruination, or the need to expend extra wood by insisting on burning the meat that's tome separate from the meat that's tahor. Even though you have to burn both of them, we still say don't burn them together, which would have resulted in a financial savings, but we insisted on burning them in separate piles. That is that causes us to spend more money. That's a hefsid because of the wood expenditure, and we're not makil. In other words, we're not lenient allowing the burning of them together, the being metama the meat in order to save money, and yet here by the wine we are allowing the tuma of the truma. We're being metama the truma wine to save the chulin. Amalei Abaye. Abaye answers. He answers Rava's question. He says, Lehefsid Ruba Choshishu, Lehefsid Muat Lo Choshishu. All of this, by the way, is review. We've learned this in the past. Abaye says that when it comes to a major loss, like the case of the wine mixing with the chulin, the value of the chulin will be severely reduced when it mixes with the truma wine. So that causes us lenience, to be lenient. However, when it comes to a little extra wood for a separate fireplace for burning the meat that's tohor separate from the meat that's tomei, that's a small extra financial layout. So lo choshishu, they didn't take that into consideration, but rather insisted on separate fireplaces. The Gemara asks, we know temod lehefsid mubo choshu lehefsid muat lo choshu. From where do we know that we make a distinction between a large loss and versus a small loss? Answer: Desanya, chavis shel shemen truma shenishbro begasel yona. Here we have a source that's very similar in terms of the metzias, in terms of the actuality to the case before with the wine. However, you'll notice a very big difference. Here we're talking not about a barrel of wine, but a barrel of shemen as oil, truma oil, not truma wine, truma oil. Truma oil, let us point out, is something that, of course, you cannot eat, but you can use it. It has great value as a fuel, as lighting candles or other fuel purposes. So you have a chavis of truma that broke, shenishbo begas elyona, in the upper part of an oil press, an olive press, u'tachtonu chulin tameim, and in the pit below, there is chulin that's tomei, moda Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer will concede to Rabbi Yeshua, shim yochol, lahatzil mimeno, revias betaro yatzil. If the option to save a revias betaro exists, so then you must save the mere revias and let the rest go to get mixed, and all of the chulin will become mixed with the truma. V'im lav, if there is no option of saving revias betaro, tere v'tame v'alyatame biyad. Here you see even Rabbi Yeshua is not allowing the saving of the truma before it reaches the chulin tamein, but we allow it all to go down and get mixed up with the truma oil with the truma with the chulin oil that's tamei. Even Rabbi Yeshua is not allowing you to metame the truma in order to save the chulin. Why is that? Because, as we explained, when you have wine, that wine's purpose is basically for drinking. So the wine that gets mixed up with the chulin, that would be a big loss, major loss, as far as chulin that's mixed with truma, chulin wine that's mixed with truma represents a major loss. However, truma oil that mixes with chulin tamein, that's not a major loss because it still serves as fuel. The Gemara asks, "Maishno shemen the roi lahadlik? Why? What is different about oil that you're considering it a hefsed muat? Based on what? Based on that it still has an alternative use. It can be used as fuel. Well, yayin nami roi lazilov. The wine, the truma chulin wine mixture. Granted, it cannot be drunk because it's." You have chulin tamein, making the truma that fell in tomei, so you can't drink it. But wine that can't be drunk still can be used as for zilov. Zilov is a process where people would sprinkle wine, fragrant wine, on their floors to keep the dust from rising from their dirt floors and also producing a pleasant aroma. So is it not so that the wine is also fit for zilov? And therefore, why would Rabbi Yeshua allow being matama the truma wine before it mixes with the chulin? He shouldn't allow it. There's no big loss. It's still fit for zilof. The chitemo zilof lav milsa. You might say, well, zilof is something that is a very little value, and therefore it's mixing the truma's wine mixing with the chulin tamayim is a big loss. And the fact that it's fit for zilof is of little value. That's not true. V'amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chia. Shmuel the neighbor Rabbi Chia says, shoysin milug besela umezalfen milug b'shtayim. If you want to buy a lug is a measure of wine. If you want to buy a lug for drinking, you'd pay one sela. If you want to buy a lug, again, that's a measure, for ziluf, you'd pay two sela. It's ziluf quality wine is worth twice as much as drinking quality wine. So if you're telling me that it's fit for ziluf, why does Rabbi Yeshua allow you to metama the truma wine before it mixes with the chulin tamayim? The Gemara answers, because the case that Rabbi Yeshua is speaking about where he allows you to save the chulin from mixing with the truma is b'chodosh, it's new wine that's not fit for zilof. The Gemara asks, v'horoi liashno, but okay, it might be new now, but wine, you know, you can leave for a while, it'll ferment and it'll become roi. So, still, it has a zilof value. The Gemara says, no, osi bei lidei takola. If we allow you to leave it around until it ages, people might drink it beforehand, and that is a takola, stumbling, a sin. So we don't want to set up a situation where you will come to this takola. Question: Sheminami osi bei lidei takola, the oil that is now tomei, the truma oil that's mixed with the chulin oil tameim, might someone not come to use that in his salad or eat from it? So the Gemara says, the rummy lay the kli mols. Well, you put it in some type of disgusting vessel. You're not going to use it any longer as salad dressing, but it'll still be useful as fuel. Question: Yayin nami rami le bekleimos. Well, couldn't you place the wine for aging purposes in a disgusting vessel, and you won't come to takola? The Gemara answers, no, you're not going to do that with the wine. Leziluf kaboyla. The whole purpose is to have the wine age for ziluf purposes. Ziluf is a situation, as we said before, where the wine produces a pleasant aroma. The klimos ramile, would you put it in a disgusting vessel? That will contradict the whole purpose for which you've been setting it aside. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Noseya topic heading, Machloikas Tanoyim I Chayshinon L'Takola. We're going to see a Tanoyim controversy, whether one has to worry about what we call Takola. Is that something we have to consider in the first place? Till now, we were explaining, we resolved the sources involving Rabbi Yeshua using that Svora, that the reason that Rabbi Yeshua allows you to prevent the Truma wine from mixing with the Chulin, even though there is the Ziluf potential, but that would have resulted in a problem of Takola. Is that something that we really have to worry about? So the Gemara says, "Utakala atzma tanoihi." This consideration is itself a Tanaic controversy, Desanya. Now, we should point out that this is basically a long point, and the main explanation is really going to be found in the Rashi at the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. So things are not going to be so obvious as we learn the Gemara itself, but it will be clear, Mirz Hashem, when we look at the Rashi there at the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. So what is the source? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. Chovis shel yayin shel truma shenitmes. A barrel of wine, truma wine that became tame, and of course it's forbidden to drink. Beishamay omrim tishafech. The word either is chaval or hakol. But the point is, get rid of it immediately, quickly. Spill it out immediately. Beisil omrim tase ziluf. Well, you leave it around for the ziluf procedure, with the sprinkling down of the floors, as we explained earlier. Omri bishmoel b'Rav Yosi, ani achria. I will mediate. I will explain, or I will settle this machlokas as follows. Besadeh tishafeh chaval. If the truma wine is found in a field, field is not a place that people bother doing ziluf. It's ziluf is something you do in your house. So if it's in the field, spill it out immediately. But bias ta'ase ziluf. If you have the truma tamea barrel of wine in your house, so there you do ziluf. Ikal diamri bechodesh tishapeh chaval. If it's new wine, spill it out immediately. Or chaval, it means in one shot. Biyoshon taseh ziluf. If it's aged, it's already suitable for ziluf, so use it for ziluf. So Rabbi Shmuel was presenting himself as what we call a machria. Omru lo. Machria is an attempt to, say, settle a machloikes type of settling a matter or balancing out a matter. And generally speaking, we say that the opinion that is the machria is the main way to follow. However, Omru lo, the rabbi said to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Ein hachro shlishis machras. Here we take a look at Rashi at the top. Ein hachro shlishis machras. Das shlishis hizu. You represent a third opinion. You're not a mediating opinion, which would have been a machria. You're a third opinion. Shebeishami b'sil lo hiskiru legalus daitom. They did not reveal their opinion. Dineve chayshinun letakola klal. That there is any reason to worry about a stumbling. They, Rabbi Shammai says, spill it out immediately. Beis Hillel says, use it for ziluf. We didn't, when learning Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, there was no concern mentioned of a possibility of takola. They didn't make any reference to that. You, on the other hand, did make reference to that in the way you ruled. In other words, if it's in the field, so don't use it for zeal. Spill it out immediately because of the fear that by the time you bring it to the house, you might come to drink from it. That would be a takola. However, if it's in the house already, not in the field, so then there's no takola because you'll use it immediately for the ziluf. Likewise with the chodesh versus the yoshin, the same svara is applicable. But that's what you said. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai didn't make any reference to that. And Rashi explains, Diavu Omru Hochi, if it would have been stated as follows, Beis Shammai Omrim Bein Bebayis Bein Besodeh Chaval Tishofech, spill it out all at once, whether it's in the field or even in the house. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Bein Bebayis Bein Besodeh Teoseh Ziluf. And Beis Hillel would say, whether it's in the house or in the field, even if it's in the field, use the wine for Ziluf, means bring it home and use it for Ziluf, which would indicate that Beis Hillel makes reference to the takol and says, don't worry about it. Bring it from the field into the house. Once again, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel themselves would have made specific references to field and to house. The Ata Bol Achri, and you come to mediate, V'lomar Bebayis Ke Beis Hillel, B'sodeh Ke Beis Shammai, in the house, follow Beis Hillel. In the field, go like Beis Shammai. Havyo Hachro, that would have been a Hachro-type opinion. Aval hashto de lo iskiru bayis v'sodeh, but now that Beis Shammai in actuality did not make any reference to house nor field, taimu achrina hu v'lav mishum takola, they represent a totally separate opinion, not making any reference to takola. For Bishmuel chayish le takola, only you are the one that is concerned with takola. V'hainu tanoi, we made reference before that the issue of do you have to concern yourself with the possibility of a stumbling as a machlokes tanoim? Yes, it's a machlokes tanoim. It's Rabbi Shmuel holds that you're choshesh for takola, and other tanoim are not choshesh for that. The Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, machlokes shenofla lepochos mimeil saw chulin tamein. The machlokes we saw with Rabbi Lezing, Rabbi Shua regarding the barrel that broke and is flowing down, the barrel of truma that's flowing down into the chulin tamein, that machlokes exists only if the amount of chulin is less than 100 times the amount of the truma. Avol nofla lemeil chulin tamein, if there is 100 times the amount of chulin tamein, then truma divrei akol, everyone will agree, teireid v'tetameh v'al yitameno biyad. Even Rabbi Yeshua will agree, allow the truma wine to go down and become tomate by mixing with the chulin, and that is the reason for that is that when you have 100 times chulin, the truma is considered botel, and therefore the chulin tamein remains something that's mutter for people to drink. Tanyo Nami Hochena, Tanaic source supports this. Chavis Shinishbo Begasel Yona, a barrel of truma wine that broke in the upper part of the press, Vitachtel Meo Chulin Tamein, and below that are 100 times Chulin, and we scroll down 100 times Chulin Tamein. Moide Reblezer Rabbi Yeshua, Reblezer concedes Rabbi Yeshua, Shim Yoch Latzel Mimena Revias Betari Atzil, if you can save a Revias of the truma Tahora Bitara, without it becoming defiled, then do that. V'im lav, teireid v'tetame v'al yitameno biyad. If not, then there is agreement that the truma is to go down and become tome by mixing with the chulin tameim, and you don't try to save the truma by catching it in tome vessels by proactive tuma. So this source then supports that which Rabbi Yossi Rabbeinu said, that when you're dealing with 100 times chulin, so there's no everyone agrees, don't try to stop the truma from mixing with the chulin. Because even though it mixes, really the chulin tamein remains mutter, because 100 times chulin annuls or is mevatel the truma that mixes in it. The technical question, in this source, we read that Rabbi Eliezer concedes to Rabbi Yeshua, really, it should be the other way around. If this source is, let's say, advocating passive behavior, and as don't try to save the chulin by being metama the truma with a tome vessel, in other words, don't do that, that would be Rabbi Yeshua changing his, or conceding to Rabbi Eliezer, because previously Rabbi Yeshua, when it was less than 100 times, Rabbi Eliezer allowed saving the chulin from mixing with the truma by being metama the truma, and here he's not allowing, he's going in the direction of Rabbi Eliezer. So, hi, moide Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, the existing text says that Rabbi Elazar concedes to Rabbi Yeshua, Modi Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Elazar Meboyale, it should have said that Rabbi Yeshua in general is lenient. He allows you to metame biyad. Here, he is not allowing. He concedes to Rabbi Elazar. Two approaches. Number one, Omar Rova, Epoch. Well, just switch them around. And it should really read, Moida Rabbi Yeshua, le Rabbi Elazar. Approach number two, Rav Huna Breid, Rabbi Yeshua Mar, li olam lo tepuch. Don't switch things around. And contrary to what we thought, when we thought that the mode expression in the source where it said mode Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, we thought that that was going on the seifa, the last part of the source. Not so. The mode is really going on the resha, where Rabbi Elazar concedes to Rabbi Yeshua that if you can save it, betara, then do so, and we'll explain that as we go on. Liolam lo tepuch, hocha b'mayaskinon. Here, when it says that Rabbi Elazar concedes to Rabbi Yeshua, we're talking about the kli shetochotor v'gabel tami, the kli, the vessel that you're using for saving the revius, happens to be a vessel whose interior is tohar, is pure, is undefiled, and the exterior, the gav, is tomei. And even so, even though it's like a kind of tomei vessel, the interior, though, is tohar. So that even though Rebbe Elazar does not allow using a vessel that's tomei to save wine, truma wine, in this case, since the interior is tohar, and this phenomenon comes about when mashkim tameim came into contact with the outside of the vessel, so we say this is a rabbinic halacha that the interior remains tor. Rabbi Eliezer concedes you can use such a vessel. And why is this information important? Mahu detemo, because I would have thought, without being told thusly, I would have thought nigzor, we should not allow the use of a vessel whose tocho is tor gabo tame. Make a gzera dilma noga gabo betruma. Maybe the exterior of the vessel will come into contact with the truma, and you would be proactively being metame the truma. So this source tells me that Rabbi Eliezer will concede that since the interior is tahor, you're allowed to use it. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.